Today is the second Sunday in ordinary time. And invariably, on this Sunday every year, someone will come up to me and ask, "Father, what happened to the first Sunday in ordinary time?" Perhaps you were thinking that yourself this morning. Well, the feast of the baptism of the Lord, which concludes Christmas, takes the place of the first Sunday in ordinary time. So that last week was the first week in ordinary time. This week is the second Sunday and the second week. It helps to keep the numbering orderly. There's your piece of liturgical trivia for this Sunday. And as we begin again this season of ordinary time, our attention turns to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. After his baptism in the Jordan, the Spirit compels him into the desert for 40 days, where he's tempted by Satan. And then at the end of that 40-day period, he comes out to begin his public ministry. And one of the first things that he does is he begins to call his disciples, who eventually will become his apostles, which is a small part of the gospel that we heard today. And the gospel for today's Mass, I think, has quite a lot of implications for our lives as Christians, as disciples. So I'd like to take some time to delve a little bit deeper into today's gospel passage. It begins with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is standing there with two of his disciples. And he sees Jesus pass by and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That phrase, "Lamb of God," would have meant quite a bit to a first century Jew. Lambs were very important in the ritual aspects of Judaism. Think back to the book of Exodus. God tells every household to procure for itself a lamb and to slaughter the lamb and then put the lamb's blood around the doorposts of their house. And the blood of the lamb is the sign for the avenging angel to pass over their house, thus keeping them safe. The Passover, which is commemorated every year by the Jewish people. And then you fast forward to the temple in Jerusalem. It had an elaborate system of animal sacrifice. The lambs were sacrificed as offerings to God. So the lamb is one who takes away the sin of the people and saves the people. So for John to say that Jesus is the Lamb of God, they would have recognized him as being the sacrifice for the people. The one true lamb that takes the place of the hundreds of thousands of others that saves his people. In other words, they would have recognized that as a sign that Jesus was the Messiah. And this gets the attention of Andrew and the other disciple there who remains nameless. And they run after Jesus. And as they run after him, Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, "What are you looking for?" He gets right to the heart of the matter. And then he invites them to come and stay, come and follow me and find out what I'm all about. In other words, the Lord is inviting them to see in him the fulfillment of all that they're looking for, all that they're longing for their own lives and for the lives of their people. And then there's a very curious line there where they say, the evangelist says, it was about 4 PM. It's unusual for the Gospels to be quite so specific about time. And that was because this was a transformational moment. I can imagine Andrew many, many years later telling John the Evangelist this story. And it was so vividly clear, he could tell them it was about 4 PM. Just like those big events in our own lives where we can remember the time when it happened. This was a monumental event It was an event in which Andrew and that other disciple, their lives were changed forever so that they remember it. It was so transformational, Andrew then ran to get his brother, Simon. I think, as I said, we can see our own spiritual lives, our own discipleship in this story. We too need to recognize Jesus for who he is. The Christian author C.S. Lewis said that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Sounds somewhat irreverent, but it makes sense. You think about who Jesus claims to be. He claims to be God, to forgive sins, that he's always existed, that he will come back again at the end of time as judge. So either he's a liar, which you think about the martyrs, no one gives their life for a lie, for something that they don't believe in. He's a lunatic. Think of all the things that he said, but yet there's no evidence for that. So then he must be the Lord. He must be who he claims to be. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. All of these things that Jesus says he is. And when we recognize him as Lord, we face that same question that he asked Andrew. What are you looking for? Maybe like Samuel in the first reading, we don't really know. He thought Eli was calling him. He runs to him multiple times. But it's finally when he recognizes that it's God calling him, he can say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." What are you looking for? St. Paul tells us in the second reading today, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and that you are not your own?" As 21st century Americans, we don't like to hear that. We value our autonomy. But yet, because Jesus is Lord, he has a claim on us, a claim on our lives. And we too can name the precise moment when he called us. It was the moment of our baptism, when we became brothers and sisters of Jesus and sons and daughters of God. We're called by name in our baptism. When Jesus calls Simon, he changes his name to Peter, to signify a change in his life. When we're baptized by name. Mary, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're called by name so that God knows us by that name. And we are very dear to him. We can live in relationship with him so that he's not abstract and sort of out there somewhere, but very close to me because he's called me by name. And that closeness of God can have a real effect on my life. The lordship of Jesus can have a true effect in my life. It's become a little bit of a cliche now to say that we're living in difficult times. It's a cliche because it's true. All of the problems of 2020 have sort of followed us into this new year. And the new year has produced a whole new set of problems that we probably didn't see coming. I think specifically of the events in Washington a couple of weeks ago. And that chaos in Washington can leave us feeling helpless, that there's really nothing that I can do. We're not used to seeing those sort of things happen to our civil government. What can I do if I feel powerless? But because we are sons and daughters of God, we do have something that can help the situation. And that something is prayer. It can sound a bit simplistic, but that really is our answer. We can affect that in our sphere of influence, in our little corner of the world, because our prayer connects us to God, because we're his sons and daughters. So that our prayer has the power to change situations, to change lives, to change our own lives. Something that from our vantage point seems impossible to help, our prayer can be helpful. So to that end, on Wednesday, which is Inauguration Day, we're going to host a day of prayer here at St. Mark. Following the daily Mass, we'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament until 6 p.m. when we will have benediction. And during the course of the day, we're going to take specific moments to pause with specific prayers. So at 12 noon, we will be praying a patriotic rosary. At 3 p.m., the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then at 6 p.m., benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. All of those prayer moments will be streamed if you have to go to work or school. And maybe you know someone who's not super comfortable about coming to Mass. This might be a good opportunity to invite them to come to church, because there's usually only a handful of people who may be here at any given time. So there's plenty of space to spread out. Also this week on Friday, January 22nd, is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in this country. And the bishops of our country have called on January 22nd to be a day of prayer for the protection of human life. And so also on Friday, we will do the same. We will have a day of prayer with exposition and benediction. Another opportunity to come to church, to implore the Lord, and to remember that prayer has power. It has power to change situations that from a human vantage point seems to be impossible. Samuel, Andrew, Peter, and us. When God calls us, we don't know what the future has in store. But Samuel, Andrew, and Peter, they turned their lives over to God and became instruments in his hands. And that's what we are called to do as well. We don't know the future, but we do know that through baptism, we are sons and daughters of God. And God shows glimmers of his providence in our lives. I don't know if you noticed the collect, the opening prayer of the Mass this morning, what it said. It said, Almighty God, who govern all things in heaven and earth, hear the pleading of your people and bestow your peace on our times. I didn't pick that prayer today. It was simply the one that was appointed for this Sunday. I think that is clearly a sign from God that he knows our troubles, he knows our concerns, and that he is attentive. He will never be deaf to the prayers of his children. So, my friends, let us raise our voices and say, Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.